give him our all. When we stand to sing the next song that has been announced, that's our song of invitation and encouragement, we'll be encouraging anyone who may be in our midst this morning who needs to respond in a special way. If you have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and put him on in baptism, not a member of his body, his church, the one that you can read about in the New Testament, we trust that perhaps some things that will be said today, maybe some things that you've already been studying, someone have been studying with you, encouraging you, will become even more clear of the necessity to obey the Lord in baptism. If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but you find yourself walking contrary to the will of God, we wish and pray the same thing for anyone who may have erred along the way, that you'll see the need to correct your erring way by returning to the will of God. If you just need prayer, whatever your need is this morning, you just may need some prayer, then we encourage you to request prayer. And by the way, we'll be standing and asking you to come. And if you care not to voice your concerns, there are cards, prayer request cards made available in the pocket of the pews, and you can take that out and write down whatever your request or your concern is, and it'll be read and will be prayed for before the service ends. So any way that we can help you in your response to the Lord, in your relationship with the Lord, please do not hesitate to let us know, and we'll do all within our power to do just that. Psalms 119 passages were read into our hearing, verses 153 through 160. The text was read by a brother from the King James. The one you saw on the wall there was from the New American Standard Bible. That was a reason why I wanted that to be put there, because there, the text that I'm basically using as my springboard this morning has a word in there that makes it a little bit more plain than the King James does. Verse 160 is the text where I'm coming from this morning. It says, from the New American Standard, the sum of your word. And all of us who've gone to school, I'm sure we know what sum means. It means total, or it means all. The sum of your word, all of your word, is truth. And every one of your righteous ordinances, or judgments, as the King James says, is everlasting. It endures forever. The enduring nature of the truth is what I'm talking about this morning. The enduring nature of the truth. You know, we live in a world where nothing seems to endure. Nothing seems to last. Nothing seems to stay the same. Everything seems to change. Our seasons change. We've just gone through a season change a few days ago. Times change. Styles change. People change. Technology change. If you don't believe that, just ask Samsung. Every other week, almost, they're coming out with a new phone. Some of them are blowing up. But but things change. And on we could go of the many things and the many ways we experience change in our lives. And that same feeling, attitude, somehow, and it just didn't happen now, but somehow has crept into how people look at the Word of God. Many people look upon the truth of God's Word as being subject to change, just like they witness in society. And many are even skeptical about God's Word. Some will say, yes, I believe this portion, but I don't believe that portion. Well, my question would be to an individual who would say that or feel like that is, how can you be so sure to believe what you believe and not believe what you don't believe if it all came from the same source? Who are we to decide what's right about God's Word and what's wrong about God's Word? That's why I chose to have the New American Standard Version placed on the screen. And had I had time to tell the brother who read this morning, but he was the alternate one to read, I had already told the main one that was supposed to read, but he had to work today. But be that as it may, that's why I chose this version, so that we could bring out this idea in verse 160. The King James says, thy word. The New American Standard says, the sum of thy word. The total of thy word. So if you believe it over here, then you must believe it over here. If you believe it over here, you must believe it here. Everything about God's word is truth. Everything about God's word is right. Everything about God's word is enduring. It will last. David didn't have a problem with God's word. Because if you would notice in those passages that were being read, in every verse that was read, that was a reference made to the Word of God. Put it back up there again, if you will, operator. Verse 153 through verse 160. And notice something about every passage that was read. It was a reference made to the Word of God. Look upon my affliction and rescue me, for I do not forget your law. That's as reference to God's word. The next passage says, plead my cause and redeem me, revive me according to your word. The next passage says, salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. That's still talking about the word. The next verse says, great are your mercies, O Lord, revive me according to your ordinances or judgments, as the King James said. That has a reference to the Word of God. The next passage says, many are my persecutors and my adversaries, yet I do not turn aside from your testimonies, the Word. The next passage says, I behold the treacherous and loathe them because they do not keep your Word. The next passage says, consider how I love your precept. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Precepts is the word. The next passage says, the sum of your word. Every passage that was read this morning referred to the word. David didn't have a problem with the word. Why is it then that people today have a problem with the word? The word, or the truth, endures forever, he says. What then can we say this morning as we look at this lesson about the enduring nature of the truth of the word? There are three things that we can say this morning about the enduring nature of God's word. Number one, God's word was true in the past, or true from the beginning. God's word is true in the present, and God's word will be true in the future. The enduring nature of God's word. Again, 160, the first part of that verse says, the sum of your word is truth. You know, that says something about God. When we talk about God and his word, that says something about God. That shows that God is supreme and God is omniscient. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing. And since he's all-knowing, nobody didn't have to teach him. That's amazing about God, isn't it? You and I have to be taught. Nobody had to teach God because he's all-knowing, as he's omniscient. If he has all the knowledge, how in the world can we try to give him some knowledge? No wonder Paul said when he wrote to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 16, who has the mind of Christ or the mind of God that we might instruct him? Who among us can tell God what he ought to say? Who among us can tell God what he ought to do? Who among us can tell God what he ought to be like? He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. Nobody has to teach him. So nobody didn't have to teach him what to say in his word. He is omniscient. He knows what to say. So when he said it in the past, he said exactly what needed to be said. He didn't have to learn it. He didn't have to determine it. He didn't have to decide that, well, perhaps, maybe, eventually, maybe I figured it out. You and I, as we study it, we got to figure it out. Not figure it out on our own, but figure it out as to what he says, because it's already figured out for us. God is supreme and he's omniscient. You know the reason why, again, his word is truth? Because he is truth. Listen to what is said concerning him in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse number 1 through 4, particularly verse number 4, but just to get the context of what he says here. In verse number 1, he says, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. He said, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew. As the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. And verse 4 says this. He is the rock. His works is perfect. Talking about God. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth. I want us to notice something about that passage there. He's not just a God that speaks truth, even though he does speak truth, but he's a God of truth. And you know what that means? That means he is the very essence of truth. So that's why his word is truth, because he is truth himself. No lie can emanate from him. Nothing wrong can proceed out of his mouth, because his very nature is truth. You and I, we can speak truth according to God's word, but we are not truth. God is truth. That's why whatever he says is truth. So we can put our confidence, Brother Montgomery, as we talk about putting confidence in God and doing his will, we can put our confidence in any and everything that God says, because he is a God of truth. He is the very essence of truth. And without iniquity. You know, the Bible says this about God also. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, part of that passage says this. God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. We cannot find a speck of darkness in God. He is light. Nothing about him is even dim. He is light. There is no darkness at all. Because he is the very essence of truth. But you know, people who don't want to believe the Bible, or who don't want to believe portions of the Bible, or who says there's nothing to the Bible, you know, they are being influenced by Satan. And Satan is just the opposite of God. There is nothing truth about Satan at all. The Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse number 44, ye are of your father, the devil. And he's talking about those unbelieving Jews. He says, you are of your father, the devil. The lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from what? The beginning. And we can go on and say, as this pastor will turn out, he was a liar from the beginning. But God's word was truth from the beginning. He says, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is the liar and the father of it. So, if you want to pick out a section of the Bible and put your disclaimer on it that is not right, then you're being influenced by the devil. He was a liar from the beginning. God's word was truth from the beginning. So, when we talk about God's word being truth from the beginning, this tells us also that truth does not evolve over time. You know, somebody might say, well, it was true then, but it's not true now. Or maybe I used not to believe it, but now I believe it, or whatever it finally became. It didn't just finally become true. It was true from the beginning. It didn't evolve over time. You know, there's evolutionists. They're not talking about God's word, but basically they're talking against God's word. Talking about how you and I evolved. We evolved over time. Man came from this, and man came from that. When God said, let us make man, he never said, let us make a fish and let man evolve from a fish. He said, let us make man. And the Bible says that he breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. But Darwin doesn't say that. Darwin says man came from something else, that he evolved. Truth does not evolve. Truth was truth from the beginning. Thank God that it was true from the beginning. So truth was truth in the past, or it was truth in the beginning. But secondly, as we talk about this enduring nature of truth, truth is truth in the present. It was truth in the past. It's truth right now. It's truth in the present. Jesus said this in his prayers. He was praying for his apostles. In John chapter 17, in verse number 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word was truth, will be truth. Even though it is, was, and will be. But in this passage here, he's talking in the present. It's truth right now. It doesn't have to wait to be truth. But it's truth right now. That's why, again, when we talk about what we should believe and what we should practice and what we should do in our faith toward God, We don't have to wait for somebody to go into a council or a convention to decide how we're going to believe and what we're going to believe. All we need to do is read God's word and believe it right then. I hope you listened to the radio program this afternoon. I'm going to be talking about something along that line. How people go off into a convention. They go off into a big meeting somewhere. And then they come up on what they're going to believe on this and what they're going to believe on that. Truth is truth right now. We don't have to have any discussion about it as to whether it's truth or not. It's truth right now. Thy word is truth. And you know what? It does not matter one iota whether I believe it, whether you believe it, or whether anybody believes it. It's still truth. Paul said this when he wrote to those Roman Jews. Had reference to the Roman Jews there. In Romans chapter 3, verse number 3 through 4. He said, what if some do not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Verse number 4 says this, God forbid. Yea, let God be what? Let God be true. That's why I said earlier that he's the essence of truth. He is truth. Let God be true, but every man a liar. So whether I believe it, whether you believe it, whether they believe it, whether somebody else believe it or not, it does not matter. It is still the truth. God's word is truth right now. So we can trust it. And we can rely upon it. Because it's truth right now. So when the psalmist wrote in Psalms 46 and verse number 1, he said this. He says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help. Right now. He's a very present help. Right now. He's a very present help. Right now. He will answer our prayers. Right now. Even in his answering our prayers, we may have to wait for that to become a reality in our lives. But he is still a very present help right now. So we can rely upon him because he's truth. And whatever he's promised, he'll do it. Thank God for the truth. Thank God that he's not a fickle God. He's not a wavering God. You ask me to do something, you might have to say, well, I wonder whether he'll do it. I'm not so sure. I ask you to do something, I may have to say, I don't know really whether they'll do it or not. But God is not like that. Whatever God says he'll do, he will do it. And so we can go to God right now and ask him for his help. He may say, no, wait a while. And you know, I heard something on the way to, almost said way to work, on the way to church this morning, listen to the radio. The man made an excellent point. And he was talking about God answering prayer. And he says, God may say no, but most of the time when God says no in our lives, we say he didn't answer us. But he says, he said this. He said, but if you ask me a question or whatever and I say no, ask me for something, and I say no, you say yes. I answered you. But we expect God, he says, to say yes to everything we ask him. But my point is that we can ask him right now because he's a right now God, even though he may bless us somewhere down the future. But we can still ask him right now. So the psalmist says, God is our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. So when we have something going on in our lives, and sure, we need to talk to God more than when we have, quote, have something going on in our lives. But when we have something going on in our lives, we don't have to say, well, I probably need to wait 2 weeks before I get with God on that. We can get with God right now. Thank God that he's a right now God. God's word is truth in the present. And it doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. Thirdly, I said this, that it will be truth in the future. Mark 13 and verse 31, Jesus said this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. That's why we need to live right. Because, again, his word was truth in the past. His word is truth in the present. And it's going to be truth in the future when we get down into that future judgment day. Whenever it is, it's going to be in the future. His word is going to be right there. That's why we need to live right. Because we're going to have to face it at that future day. So if we have discounted God's word through this life, maybe we've lived right in the past. Maybe we're living right now. But all of a sudden we decide that, well, I'm going to stop living right. We'll be in trouble. Because when we face God in the judgment, in the future date, the word is going to be right there. So it behooves us all, thank God, that we got over our past when we weren't living right. And we got right, and we're living right in the present. And if he blesses us to live longer, keep on living right so that his word will be there to approve our lives when we stand before him in the judgment. Because we're going to have to face it. We're going to meet him in the judgment. So Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And the reason why it will never pass away is because it has been, if I can say it like this, it has been signed, sealed, and delivered from heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It endures forever. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25 says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, he says, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. Thank God for that enduring word. And since his word then endureth forever, it does not change. It's never old-fashioned, even though many people try to make it old-fashioned. Says that it's not relevant anymore. It's never old-fashioned. It's not like clothes. It's not like things. It doesn't become old-fashioned. It's always fresh. It's always new in our lives. It's never out of date. You know, God's people of old were challenged to go back to God's word. Jeremiah challenged them in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 16. He says this, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And he says, and do what? Walk therein. But what? And you shall find rest for your souls. But then it goes on and says, but they said, we will not walk therein. There are folks even today that are saying, yes, I know it used to be good for some other time. But we're in a new day now. We're in a new age now. It's not relevant to our lives anymore. Don't go on thinking like that.
Because in the judgment, we'll find out that it's still reverent. So let's stick with God's word. Because it was true or right in the past. It is true and right in the present. And it will be true and right in the future. Let's stay with God's word. There is great benefit in staying with God's word. Number one, as we stay with God's word, it will purify and keep our souls purified. And you know the only way we can get to heaven? We got to be pure. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Who's going to see God? The pure in heart. So if your heart is not pure, my heart is not pure, we'll never see God. Now, does that mean we live sinless lives? No. But we got the blood of Jesus Christ. And John says, as we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. It keeps on cleansing us. It keeps on keeping our hearts pure. And one day, we can see God's face in peace. So there are great benefits in sticking with the word of God. Don't let anybody tell you that the word of God is old-fashioned. It'll save our souls. James 1 and verse 21. It will make us free. John 8, verse 32. It gives us direction as to how we are to live and please the Lord. And again, nobody can see God's face in peace unless they please the Lord. We need to be about pleasing the Lord. Pleasing the Lord. And as I've said earlier, one day it's going to face us in the future. So we need to stick with God's word. Don't let anybody tell you, again, that the Bible doesn't mean what it says. If it doesn't mean what it says, ask us a question again. Who knows what it means when it said what it said? Who are we to instruct God? We don't have God's mind. God knows what's best for us. And so he gave us what was best for us. He gave us his word to lead us from earth to heaven. But unless we put our faith and our confidence in the word of God, we're going to miss it. Jesus said it like this, John chapter 12 and verse 48, and you know it so well, I'm sure. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word as one that judges me. For the words that I have spoken, the same will judge you in the last day. We're going to see it in the future. It's going to be there to judge us. It just makes sense then to do what it says, because we're going to see it. It makes sense to do what it says. God's word has not changed. God's word will not change. It's going to be there in the end. God's plan of salvation for saving men has not changed. God's place of salvation has not changed. Let me explain briefly what I said then as I close. His way of saving men has not changed. That is his plan of salvation. His word still say in Acts 15 and verse 7, when there had been much disputed, Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear and believe the gospel. That plan is still in effect today. You must hear and believe the gospel. The gospel is the good news of how God loved you and how he sent Jesus to die and how he did die, and how he was buried in the heart of the earth and how he was resurrected the third day. That's the good news of the gospel, because if he had not died and had not rose from the dead, you and I today would have no hope. That's good news. So we must hear and believe the gospel. Not only that, but one must repent. God's word still teaches that we must repent, change our minds from wrong and turn to that which is right. That's what repentance is all about. Been lying? Stop lying. Been cheating? Stop cheating. Stealing?
Stop stealing. Talking about folks in a derogative way, stop doing it. Living immoral lives, stop doing it. Whatever the case is, that's contrary to the will of God, stop it and turn to God. That's what repentance is all about. It hasn't changed. Because Jesus says in Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. That's still in effect. Not only that, but one must confess, must make that confession that he believes or she believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That was required of the Ethiopian eunuch. It's required of anybody today. It was told to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, in verse number 36, the Bible says, when they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch says, see, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Philip says, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. He says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Romans 10:9-10 says that we must make that confession. It hasn't changed. It's not old-fashioned. It's up to date. And here's one that the majority of the religious world fuss and fight, and I don't mean literally, but argue and disagree over, is baptism. That hasn't changed. The word still says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. The word still says, Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. The word still says, 1 Peter 3:20-21, when once the long-suffering of Noah waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved, the like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us. Hasn't changed. Still there. But somebody come around and change it. They say baptism, yeah, baptism, but you see, I can sprinkle, and that'll be about, I can pour, and that'll be baptism. The word says, bear it with him by baptism. It hadn't changed. It's still in my Bible. I don't know about yours, but it's still in my Bible. Therefore, Romans 6:4, bear it with him. And when we bury something, we cover it up. It hasn't changed. It's still there. The Lord says in Acts 2:47, that he adds them to the church. The church. Still in the Bible. The meaning adding them to the one church. Because the Lord only has one church. It's still in the scripture where Jesus says, I will build my church. Matthew 16:18. It's still in the scripture where it says the church is his body. Ephesians 1:23. It's still in the scripture where it says there is one body. Ephesians 4:4. It's still in the scripture where it says that the Lord wants everybody to be members of the same body. Ephesians 3:6. Hadn't changed. So don't let anybody take you away from the word of God. If you want to be saved, you got to obey his plan of salvation. Become a member of the church that he purchased with his own blood when he shed it on the cross. It's the church of Christ. Don't say it arrogantly, but I say it hoping to instruct you and encourage you that if you're not a member of the one you can read about in the New Testament, you don't have salvation. You want to be saved, do it God's way. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man, John 14:6, come to the Father but by me. So when David said, the sum of thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of his righteous judgments endureth forever, David was acknowledging that God, you are true, your word is true, and if I want to please you, I got to obey your word. So I leave that with you today. If you want to please God, then obey his word. Because his word will be there when we get to the judgment. And we want to hear him say, well done. But he won't say that unless we do well. And doing well means to do what he says. But you come then this morning if you need to come. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you to come. If you're already a member, but you walk contrary to his will, I encourage you to turn away from it. You need to confess. Or if you just need prayer, whatever your need is, would you come right now while we stand, while we sing.
Will God hear my surely fail?
You need the Lord this morning. You need to come. If you need him, you need to come. Come to the Lord. Come to the Lord.
Like a ship without a sail.